The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
This hour is brought to you by ETI, School of Skilled Trades. Step up to the plate and start your career in welding or HVACR at ETI, School of Skilled Trades. Visit eticampus.edu to learn more.
Live from State Street and the Old National Bank Studio, this is Waddle and Sylvie. See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Or listen to the ESPN Chicago app, ESPN 1000 and 100.3 HD2.
This is WMVP, WSHE HD2 Chicago.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Back to Greeny here shortly. Get your Would You Rathers in. Hashtag at WS Would You Rather on Twitter. Send them to Tyler Aki and Jeff Meller. The winner will get a gift card to Lou Malnati's Pizza. Waddle's also got some fantasy football conversation today. We could do that when Meller does the waiver wire.
Do I really?
Well, I thought it was
I think you remain stoic as your team is starting to build. We're setting a foundation. Ian Cunningham and I are starting to set our foundation.
I had a Broncos type week.
That's
for sure. Yes. You and Ian, let me tell you,
you'd stay out of White Sox business over there, mister.
You're more like Ted or George.
Oh, kiss my ass.
He's Poles. Tyler Aki is Ryan Poles. And then your second
guess.
Yeah, but and then you're like, you don't want to.
Why don't you maintain your own? You like you stay in your own corner over there. What's your team name?
Waddle's big ego. It's gigantic. It's a big team.
I'm not even talking about my team. You're the one over there talking about your team.
And it's Waddle's first year playing now in this league.
Because I got sucked in because Meller wanted my money. If you just would have said, hey, Waddle, can you give me a couple $100? I'd have done it. We're buddies.
We're bringing enjoyment to your life here, and you're just badgering us.
I'm not badgering you in any way, shape, or form.
Have you ever been more thrilled in your life with a tie?
Hey, Tyler, what are these two clowns talking about?
Blinders on, Waddle. Blinders on.
What are these two clowns? They're making noise.
Trying to tear you apart.
They're making noise.
Now, what did you call yourself? The Broncos, Sylvie? You're giving yourself a lot of credit. You look more like the Patriots this weekend.
I was Joe Judge calling
more
plays. I was Matt Patricia calling plays
wearing
on my fantasy
a sweatshirt.
Day. And we'll get more into that in a minute. I was driving in today. Greeny knows it well. On the Kennedy, had his show on. We were in early to tape Crosstalk Unhinged. And in his first hour of his show, he had a great fan rant against the Jets. I don't want to get into all the Jets minutia as we bring in Greeny on Waddle and Sylvie. Greeny, first of all, how have you been? How was your summer?
I've been great. It is a pleasure to hear you guys' voice, and I hope that you guys are well. I catch up with, I sort of feel, Sylvie, like I talk to you every now and again through our mutual friend, Mr. Friedel, who has become a really good friend of mine since I started doing the NBA. So I feel like I've seen you and heard you, but it's been too long since we've all had a chance to chat. So it's a pleasure to be back.
It's been too long, and I watch Get Up when I'm in the elliptical working out my fat ass and stuff like that. But when I saw Friedel on during the summer, during the KD stuff early in the summer, because I've seen him all over ESPN, but to me it was like a special thing. And when you were laughing with him, whether it was about the pillows, Nick's got that infectious laugh, and he's just one of the most likable guys there is.
He really is, and he's doing a terrific job. He's got unlimited upside, as we might say about a draft prospect. Really good guy. I agree with you. His laugh is infectious, and he's genuinely funny. So anyway, he speaks all the time about how good of friends you guys are, and that always makes me feel good. Anything that makes me feel a little closer to Chicago makes me, especially when we're traveling, makes me feel a little closer to home. So that part of it has been nice. But anyway, it's good to catch up. Football season is here, and I'm delighted.
Yeah, I was going to say, since we're hugging it out, I will tell you that the week one highlight for me was the pancake section on today's show with Jeff Saturday and Dominique. I almost wet myself watching them do what they were doing today. So, that's just another reminder that week one is in the books now. And, wow, it's great to have football back, isn't it?
It is great. And, look, Sunday's game at Soldier Field was one of the – strangest, most interesting, most in some sort of unique ways delightful games of the not only of the week, but of sort of recent memory. You know, the conditions being what they were and everything else, and the way it ends and the way the second half plays out, and in particular the way Fields plays, you know, the narrative, and you guys, I don't know how much this is the narrative locally, because it doesn't matter locally, but nationally right now, you guys should know that the narrative is, did the 49ers take the wrong quarterback? Should the 49ers go, and I know that is the ultimate in you know, revisionist history, but going all the way back to a year ago, April, should the 49ers have taken Justin Fields with the third pick in the draft? And to me, the answer has always been yes. And on Sunday, I think it definitively looked like yes.
And is that conversation, from your perspective, more of an indictment of Trey Lance than it is a, you know, an appreciation for Fields? Because at the end of the day, like in that weather, neither guy was really going to put up big numbers.
No, but at least Justin Fields. So this is the analogy that Ryan Clark used. And Tommy, you probably would understand this more directly, even better than Sylvie and I would. He said, when you're a little kid, the coach's son is always by player when you're playing like people. And so sometimes they just let that kid play quarterback and just run around and make plays because it's just so much better than everybody else around him. That's what Justin Fields looked like on Sunday. It was like, we can't figure out anything to do here. We don't have anybody good. They don't have anybody good. Justin, just go figure something out. And he did. And he's capable of doing it.
Yeah.
He's bigger than Lance. He's faster than Lance. He's stronger than Lance. He throws the ball harder than Lance. He's got leadership qualities coming out of his rear end. So I think that it is, maybe Trey Lance will wind up being a great player. I hope that he is. But Justin Fields, under the right circumstances, I think could have been, and hopefully still can be, a genuinely great NFL quarterback. Now, he has not been in any vicinity of those circumstances so far, and I don't expect him to be this year either. But at least for 1 week, it was fun to see him going head-to-head with one of the guys that he got passed up for and just looking a million times better with far less to work with than the other guy had.
Yeah, our take sort of, and we started the show because Mike Martz came out, I guess, on his podcast and ripped Fields. He doesn't like Fields. You know, and there's always someone saying stuff that people have an interest in. And then in the Twitter age, it just spreads like wildfire. Waddle and I we're not digging in either way. We like him and we think he can be good. But what you say often, Greeny, resonates always with me. And that is, more quarterbacks are ruined than developed. And last year could have been that for Fields. So to me, I still think there's going to be a bumpy road ahead at times. He needs to be developed correctly.
Oh, of course. Look, I still think he's closer to being ruined than developed. I mean, you know, let's not let Sunday. Your question you asked me a minute ago, Tommy, is sort of the answer within the question.
Yeah.
You said, is this more an indictment of Lance? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Because Lance seems to have outstanding circumstances tailor-made. And Sunday were not that, of course. There was the monsoon, and there was no Kittle, and the running back got hurt right at the beginning of the game, and everything else. Everything was working against him. But Justin has had everything working against him from the second he got there. He had a coach who had obviously all kinds of agenda issues because he knew he was on the verge of getting fired. He had a general manager who obviously had agenda issues because his last gasp chance to ever be a GM in the NFL was in figuring out a way to make that thing work. He had very little talent around him and has even less, obviously, so on the offensive side now. So if I'm a fan of the Bears, and I am, I'm very concerned that Justin Fields is going to go through the kind of beating, both physically and psychologically, that it is very hard to come back from, that historically very few quarterbacks come back from. I'd love to be proven pleasantly wrong by that, and for them to be way better than I'm expecting this year. And Sunday night against a Green Bay team that looked just awful should be very interesting. But I would describe myself as still very, very worried.
Greeny is joining us. Mike Greenberg every day here, 10 to noon. A great friend of the show for many years, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Greeny, for side note purposes, were you at the Monsoon game of 1994 covering it for Down the Dial when Waddle was in that game?
Yes, I was. Was that the night?
Yes.
Refresh my memory, was that the night that they retired Gale Sayers and Butkus's numbers?
Yes,
of course I was there. And it was insane. I mean, I covered some weather games over the course of time. I don't know what it's like to play in that. And I don't know, as a result of that, Tommy, I don't know how, if anything, to take anything away from that game and use it as an example of what to expect.
Yeah, no, that was the most miserable experience of my entire athletic career in terms of weather conditions. And to see Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus be honored, both of them wearing Glad bags to try to keep the water off of them, was, you remember, and the wind was blowing at like 40 miles an hour consistently. It was just, it was worse. I was at this game on Sunday too, Greeny, and this one was bad, but this one was nothing close to that game in 94.
Well, let me tell you, Sylvie, what I also remember that up in the press box, you know, every now and again, you felt that wind and it did kind of shake things. And I, as I recall, like the orders of fried chicken we used to have there were slightly delayed. So I went through some hardships, too.
I know.
Those were some hardships. Like that, you know, Tommy, you weren't the only one who had it tough.
Amen.
You know, all those days in Platteville,
yep,
you're doing two-a-days, you're out there in pads smashing into each other, and I'm out there covering it. I recall one day the guy with the snow cones did not show up. And that was a... So, you know, we both have our war stories.
Well played.
We've both been there.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So in general terms, Greeny, I know you shaped it with the Jets, and I was just nodding along with you because we have had coaches in this town who make it the team against this loyal fan base. And you know this town. You know how loyal. You use the Cubs in your comp, too, as like the most loyal fans in the world. The Bears now are going on 37 years of not winning a Super Bowl. So it's not Jets bad, but it's bad. And for any coach like your coach just did in New York to yell at the fans saying that we're keeping receipts and we're going to shove it down your throat, it's just a good overall lesson that, look, the fans are on your side. To make it us versus the world is a stupid battle cry.
Yeah, look, I mean, the late, great Les Grobstein, God rest his soul, had, you know, the legendary Lee Elia rant, if these are the real Chicago Cubs fans and they can meet me on Michigan Avenue, you know, that was taking it, obviously, to the nth degree. But at the end of the day, let's put aside the idea that the fans pay everybody's salary, they work for us. Forget about that. All that happens to be true. But that's not even the point here. The relationship, sometimes people just get it completely wrong. The fans are doing their jobs just fine. And in this case, to your point, Sylvie, we're talking about the fans of the Jets, but this could be the case in for any fan base of any long-suffering team. We're showing up. We're buying the jerseys. We're buying the hats. We're buying the popcorn. We're cheering. We're yelling. We're laughing every now and again, and mostly we're crying. That's our job. And you're right to tell us how to behave ends there, and the rest of it is up to you. You go do your job, and we will, as accurately as we choose, depict it. Now, I happen to be a fan who has a job in the media, so I have a few other responsibilities when it comes to sitting behind a microphone, as you do, you guys, and anyone else in our industry. But generally speaking, I don't feel like the coach was talking to me as a media member. He was talking to the fans who are disgusted with what they have been seeing for a very long time. The analogy that I used, Sylvie, for anyone who wasn't with it today, I remember when I first started hosting talk shows in Chicago, the big topic was whether or not Wrigleyville was killing the Cubs, whether or not the idea that everyone wanted to show up at Wrigley Field and hang out in the bleachers. I told the story today when I was a freshman in college. I discovered the Wrigley Field bleachers. It was the greatest place in the entire world. This was before there were lights. Every game was in the afternoon. We'd show up there. The game would end. I didn't even know who played. It was just a fun place to be. And then you would go to the bars and you'd hang out. And the question was, does that actually diminish the pressure that is being placed? If there are already butts in the seats and everybody's there and everyone's having a good old time, does it lessen the pressure on the organization to win, to put a better product on the field? It was a good topic of conversation. Obviously, they got it right with Theo, and that part of history has been rewritten since. But that is really what I was getting at today, is what I do not like. Look, I don't try and tell other fans how they should root. You want to be a positive fan who just supports the team no matter what, God bless you. That's great.
Right.
But if you want to rip them to shreds, be it on social media or whatever it is, that's your right. This is your rooting interest. You root however you feel like rooting. And I have zero interest in the coach telling me what he thinks of it. And I didn't even start that conversation meaning to go into the sort of rant that I went. But the more I thought about it and the more I talked about it, the more aggravated I became. And it just started becoming like a train rolling down a track that I couldn't stop. Yeah. But at the end of the day, the coach needs to shut up and we're doing our job just fine. The fans right now are rooting for the team way better than the coach is coaching it. And if that relationship doesn't become a little more equal, then the fans will still be there, and there'll be another new coach.
Yeah, well said. Greeny, as much as we try not to be, we are in this industry in the overreaction business, especially when week one of the NFL season comes and goes. With regard to this Bears challenge on Sunday night up in Green Bay, you look at that Green Bay team, and you guys have had a lot of good discussions about the Packers. Is it an overreaction to say that the Packers may not be the team that they have been in recent years, and that showed in week one? Or should we use last year's example as...
No. It is not an overreaction. And look, Aaron likes to think of himself as Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan, the one piece he couldn't afford to lose was Scottie Pippen. There was one other player who was on all the championship teams. And if you had taken Scottie Pippen off those teams, they just would not have been the same. You could shuffle everybody else. You could replace John Paxson with Steve Kerr. You could replace Horace Grant with Dennis Rodman. You could replace Bobby Hansen with whoever the second version of Bobby Hansen was. But what you could not replace was Scottie Pippen. And they lost the piece you can't replace. Devontae Adams, did you watch that game in where was it, L.A. this weekend? The Raiders, he's so freaking good.
Yeah, he is.
That you just don't replace that. So the idea that they're going to get their tackles back and Lazard is going to come back and they're all of a sudden going to be like a 14-win team this year, I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all. Will they be better than they looked Sunday? Sure. Should they be favored? I haven't even seen the line. What is the line in the game?
I think it's up to now that the Packers are 9.5 or 10-point favorites.
I think it was 10 when I looked in the pre-show meeting,
I mean, that's the Rodgers effect. That's people. And look, he deserves the benefit of the doubt. He's unbelievable. I'm in no way questioning him. But it's not tennis. You know, he needs people around him to do it, and I just don't think he has the guys. That guy, Christian Watson, has he ever seen a football game? I mean, not forgetting the one that he dropped. I get it. He dropped the pass on the first play of the game, which is deflating. But guys drop passes. But there was that one play when Aaron threw him the ball, and Watson wasn't even looking. It's like he is so green, it's unbelievable. So, look, unless Alan Lazard is the second coming of Don Hutson, I have a lot of concern that they're going to look anything like what they've looked like the last couple of years.
Fair.
Will they figure out something? Yes. Will they be great? No.
It's very fair, and I'm a huge Devontae Adams fan, but before Devontae Adams, it was James Jones and Jordy Nelson and Greg Jennings. Mm-hmm. Is there a chance that maybe the Green Bay Packers have some of those guys on the roster and you're about to see them develop?
Who are they? Romeo Doubs, you know what none of them were? None of those guys were? None of those guys were stars as rookies. All those guys had time to develop because they were part of a never-ending chain. And that's what Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs should be. They should be guys who are working their way into it slowly while Devontae Adams is tearing the league apart. Instead, because of Devontae's completely unexpected departure, for which Aaron, I think, has to take at least some of the blame, and so instead, those guys are the ones they're counting on. I mean, they've got Lazard, they've got Sammy Watkins, they've got Randall Cobb. Are you kidding? Let's put it this way. If Rodgers can work magic with this group, then he's even greater than I recognize. And I recognize him to be maybe as talented as any player I've ever seen in my entire life. And I've been watching the sport for going back to the 70s. Even he, I don't think, can elevate this to a team that I think is a legitimate contender. I do not think they'll win the division. I think Minnesota will win the division. Do I still think they're better than the Bears? Yes, because the Bears are at the beginning of a rebuilding process. So I think they'll win on Sunday. But I do not think they will be what they have been the last couple of years, which is the best team in the NFC with an excellent chance of winning the Super Bowl. I do not think they will be that.
Greeny, before we let you go, I could have taken my kids anywhere. I could have taken them to Alabama for their first college football game. I could have taken them to Austin, Texas for that great scene down there. Could take them to USC in Southern California. I am choosing to take them to this weekend's big matchup between the Northwestern Wildcats and my Southern Illinois Salukis. Mm-hmm. So would you care to make a wager on this game and give me the 14 points?
Sure, I gladly will. I hope that you and your kids have a wonderful experience. You know, we have a new stadium that we are building right now, but you know, we need a win in the worst way, coming off what was a really disappointing game against Duke after the really big, inspiring win against Ireland. So absolutely, next time I am in town, we will do lunch or dinner on the loser. I'll gladly give you the points, and more importantly, I hope you have a terrific time.
Yeah, we will. Thank you, Greeny. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Greeny.
All right, boys. Been too long. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, there you go. There's Mike Greenberg. His kids go to Northwestern.
His son
right?
does. Yeah, I think they both do. Yeah, right. I think they're both still in school. Yeah.
So great stuff with Greeny as always. Big Cat will join us in 40 minutes from right now. He rebounded with the win
finally
last
had a win.
Night.
Yeah, he had a win last night,
and he's been all over the Bears being frisky. There should be a lot to discuss there. Don't forget Would You Rather coming up soon, later in the show. Speaking of bets and pizza, you can win a Lou Malnati's pizza. Hashtag it WS Would You Rather. Send us your best either or question. Send them to Tyler Aki and Jeff Meller and use that hashtag WS Would You Rather. We'll read them at about 4:45. Some good fun stories inside Waddle's World. We'll get to that next.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports things. Look at the aerobics in here. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. It's making my head spin. How many activities you can do.
As we enter.
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
Are you getting, like, are you ready to go? Like, you stood up as...
I got to stand up.
Yeah, I know. I gave you that story the other week.
I sit down too much during the show down here.
Waddle's World brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust community bank. Visit wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. Yeah, I gave you that story that sitting down too much shortens your lifespan.
Yes.
They've done studies.
I don't know if you know that. They always say, like, when you're on a plane, too, like, you should get up and walk around. Like, if you're at your desk too long at work, get up, stretch.
Yeah.
Where you can see it on Twitch. I'm just always hunched. I'll put my arm here, like, sit like this. I stand up straight.
Yeah, I'm working on my posture, too, because my lower back is so sore.
Bad.
Yeah. Before I get to some NFL injury news, did you see this story that the Commanders were trying to sell mugs with Washington State, the outline of the state, during their home opener? Like, Washington Commanders actually...
They commissioned this, and they had...
Selling mugs with the W logo in the middle of an outline of Washington State.
Like, even with Daniel Snyder away, they still...
Yeah. They won the game against the Jags.
But they did, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the hell? How does that even...
During their season opener against the Jags on Sunday, the team was selling mugs with the W logo in the middle of an outline of Washington State.
They were selling them. Like, so they didn't send them back? And then I bet you...
Financially,
maybe times are tough for that NFL franchise.
A young intern or a young person in marketing, initially has a good, like, what they think or believe to be a good idea.
Well,
this will be great.
Doesn't someone catch it?
That's
or do they
I'm
say,
saying.
Look, we've already paid for them. let's see if we can work.
How about
trick
this?
People?
How about this? How about if you usually have relationships with vendors, right? Like a team like the Washington Commanders probably has a relationship with a vendor.
Or at least you're the NFL does,
right,
too.
You're a multi-billion dollar entity. When you send over, like, what you want, doesn't even one of your, you know, your people's like, you know, maybe, I'm not trying. I'm not blaming the vendor. I'm blaming the Commanders. But what I'm saying is you would think there would be so many hurdles that it would have to clear before that mistake would become reality.
Yeah, I can see the vendor just printing it off and not even thinking twice about it.
Do you know what kind of vendor hero you would be, though, if you saved them on that front? It's just good business.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Good business.
You're right, but...
This is like buying the fake jersey on Amazon, isn't it? Like, where they got all the fake, and then you get it back, and it's the wrong number. Right. There's a letter in the wrong spot on the name on the back.
It says BJ Watt on the back instead of TJ. They put a B instead of a T. This is called a segue, because I'm a professional.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Although it doesn't make any sense, because no one puts their full name.
Some people do.
No, they don't.
Just go with the joke, ass.
It's a bad joke.
Just go with it.
It's a bad joke.
Like, a lot of stuff you say doesn't make sense, too, but we just roll with it.
Now I can just let it fly.
We just roll with it.
Did you just say a lot of stuff?
Yeah, because we're teammates.
If you want to make a good BJ joke, I'm all here for it. But a bad TJ Watt joke? No.
I have seen TJ Watt jerseys with the TJ on it. I've seen those.
Where?
By the way,
where?
I can't tell you. Maybe it was the corner of Madison and State. I don't know. Do Madison and State intersect?
Madison and State.
Do they intersect?
Yes, right
okay,
down here.
I got that right.
Yes.
Now you got to get Mellor's son a TJ Watt jersey with the T and the J.
Here's what we should do.
Here's what we should do when we win the fantasy league. When we win the fantasy league, that's where we're putting our winnings.
Of course,
you
we're
too.
BJ Look, Watt jerseys.
Don't paint a picture.
High five on that one. Yes.
Waddle was already second guessing the lineup you sent out by benching Cordero Patterson. He's like, I'm going to be a silent owner here. You manage the team. Tyler, you didn't play Cordero Patterson. What's wrong with you?
I sent him the lineup in the morning.
That's what I'm saying.
Time out. When did I become Wilford Brimley when I'm talking to Tyler?
I got the diabetes.
No! By the way, TJ Watt, not BJ Watt, it seems as if he will not have to have surgery. According to Adam Schefter, it says he's going to likely be out for 6 weeks, but the torn pec will not, in fact, have to be surgically replaced.
It's worth a try to see if you could replace.
You could do that somewhere else, but fixed.
Pec replacement.
Pec replacement.
I know. I'm sure there are guys who've done pec enhancements. Yes.
Calf enhancements,
pec enhancements.
Yeah.
I would like a reduction, quite frankly.
No, just roll with it, man. You can do that on your own.
But
doctors determined this afternoon that Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker PJ Watt does not need surgery on his torn pec. So we'll see. I think you made a really good point earlier, though, off the air, where most of the good points are made on this show, don't necessarily put all your chips into that.
You could try to rehab it.
Yeah, but
and if you waste 6 weeks, it's still early enough where he should be.
You go to surgery,
right? It's worth a try. You know, I don't know what they're doing with Dak. Like trying to rush him back not put him on the injured reserve.
Dak Prescott will not go on IR. Has a real chance for a quick return. I don't. That's a bad Jerry Jones. But, Jerry said that today. We want him to be, do your Jerry Jones. We want him to be a consideration for playing for us within the next four games.
Gotta have some surgery.
Don't jack with me now.
We're still gonna come back after 3 weeks.
Don't be jacking with me.
You think if we didn't intend to bring him back within 4 weeks, we'd put him on IR? I think we would. We're not.
He is not going on injured reserve following his surgery, which he had yesterday. Which means they think actually he can come back and play in a shorter time frame than 4 weeks. The initial timeline for his return was 6 to 8 weeks, according to different sources. Those sources being Jerry himself.
Yeah, do we have that?
I think Jerry was jacking us around, wasn't he, when he said 6 to 8 weeks originally?
Not enough time to jack with you today.
He had time to jack with them this morning to tell them that he wasn't going on IR.
This guy's doing press conferences, has his radio show. Do you have the bite from him?
You don't
today?
Have a, like, I think that would be, you don't have a problem with that if your owner did that.
No, I kind of like enjoy it, yes. But it's just
having an issue with my sound okay. machine, so may need to look for that again here.
No worries.
Yeah, we're, you know what, because we're all a team in here, so you know what we're going to do? We're not going to ask you to do something that you don't have access to doing because the machine went down on you.
Jack with you today.
Yeah. Richard. Serious knee injury suffered by Seahawks safety Jamal Adams is going to require, quote, some work, according to Coach Pete Carroll. Boy, he has had, unfortunately, he has had his career over the last couple of years detoured by different injuries. I saw that one last night, and it didn't look like one of those injuries where you would have thought, yep, that's really serious, as he got in the backfield and was bringing Russell Wilson down. That game's still
it's
really
still
strange.
Bothering. Yeah. I got to say that, like, this is no second guessing. Waddle, the entire game, at least the entire second half
is when it got bad.
And, like, there were a lot of people on our text chain who were making excuses for Ross or the Broncos. And Waddle's like, no.
No.
You got to get in and out of the huddle on time. These delay of game penalties, even though it's in Seattle and it's loud, you can't have this.
No, listen, I think Carmen and Merck were both trying to float the excuse. Well, it's emotional. He's going back to Seattle. Okay, fine. That may affect some underthrows or some overthrows or his performance. But the procedural portion of his job, like the play clock's the same in every building. I don't care what emotions attached to it. You've got to be better at all of that stuff. And it's just, it was something that made me crazy about the Bears. So it's probably still stuck up here in my very small brain.
Right, sure.
I'm bothered by watching what I watched over the last couple of years. And they would call timeouts after timeouts, or they would get 5-yard delay of game penalties on the leg front coming out of timeouts.
Right. It would be the old timeout followed by the delay of game.
Listen, if this was Mitch Trubisky or Nick Foles or Andy Dalton or even Justin last year with Matt Nagy, we'd be all over them.
But this is
because it's Russ. We can't criticize a 9-time Pro Bowler.
Was it Russ or was it the coach?
Both. And if it happens one time, Russ goes to the sidelines and said, listen, this is it. That's done. If you can't get the play in sooner, I'm calling them. That's what happened.
Let me ask you guys this. I don't even think we addressed this in the pre-show. If Russell Wilson was the Bears quarterback and had the history that he gave to Seattle, all those Pro Bowls, won a Super Bowl, went to two, and then the Bears trade him, and he returned for his first game back would be at Soldier. Would we boo him? I wouldn't. We would boo him.
I wouldn't boo him. I disagree.
The way it played out, first of all, especially with the recent articles that have come out about how he forced his way out, what was going on, how he was audibling plays in Seattle so that he could pad his stats when they're winning games to try and garner MVP votes. And then he's the one who forced his way out of there. I think he absolutely
did. He force his way out, though, after they tried to trade him earlier in his career, and that never sat well with him.
Let me ask a more important question. You guys go to the games. Would you have booed him?
I would not have booed him.
I'm not a big booer. I think Sylvie would have booed him.
No. But think about the way we've treated these guys who played for the Cubs.
Well, okay, but let's say Tom Ricketts was at a Bears game, and they put Tom Ricketts on the Jumbotron.
Oh, but that's apples to oranges right there.
How's that an owner?
No one really likes but the
people,
owner.
People
the owner
loved never... Ricketts when he brought a World Series.
I wouldn't boo
and
Tom.
And when he hired Theo.
I actually would never boo Tom. He did help. But look, I was down on Chris Bryant. And even though Schwarber a year or two hit 200, and I would not boo them. Like, they gave me the
great... At the end of the day, Russ gave them what? He won a Super Bowl, went to another one, 8 or 9 Pro Bowls, was part of that for most of us. I mean, some people may have not had him in that elite quarterback club, but I certainly did for an extended period of time. Like, he did more good than harm to your franchise.
Right.
I would hope that if you were doing that analysis as a fan,
Me.
Did they boo Brady when he returned to... There were some boos, right, when he returned to New England last year?
There's always somebody willing to boo somebody.
And that felt like... I thought that was... I don't feel like that was an... But he also... They won six Super Bowls.
He should never, ever be booed.
Yeah, that's like Michael Jordan's never being booed if he comes not back here. To Chicago. I think Russ's biggest mistake last night was the suit he wore in the postgame show.
And by the way, did you see... I sent you guys the tweet that Doug Baldwin Jr. sent out.
Yes.
They were not... I mean, I think we've learned this over the course of the last couple of years. That was not a... You know, a hearty handshake and a pat on the back relationship with a lot of the guys there.
Well, listen, Russ is fake.
Yeah.
And I think you can see that in all the post-game stuff he does. He's a...
Well, but like DK Metcalf, did you see that wasn't fake? Like, I know what you're saying. What was the first article? I was trying to remember this, like 5 or 6 years ago. Do you remember this?
It was when the team, part of the team went to Hawaii for their ring ceremony or whatever it was.
Yes. And like it was all about the Legion of Boom versus Russell Wilson.
Right.
And how he never felt like he was the leader and they sort of always downgraded him.
Correct. Yeah. Well, the truth was, though, they were. They were at different points in his career. They won a Super Bowl on the strength of the Legion of Boom. And Russell Wilson was a bargain basement quarterback who played at a very high level for that price. And he had a bunch of talent around him. And they relied on Marshawn Lynch a lot, too, when they were winning that Super Bowl.
That was one of those Super Bowls you won because of the collective performance of everybody.
True. Yes. But remember, you are most of the time.
Of course.
But I still remember that one game when he debuted against the Bears and he was shaking Urlacher and everyone.
Look, he's not. He didn't have the career that Tom Brady had. He's not Tom Brady. There are warts. I get it. Like, it's not a perfect situation.
Him or Roethlisberger. Him or Roethlisberger. You want a franchise. You want a quarterback. Franchise quarterback. I'm giving you Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, or Russell Wilson. Who you want?
Who you get me? Philip Rivers,
Ben Roethlisberger, or Russell Wilson.
I'm
probably going Philip Rivers.
Wow. I see. No. He was the first guy crossed off the list.
He's the one guy that hasn't won.
Yeah, but winning also is, like we just said, they won the first Super Bowl. You just told me they won the first one with the only one with a Legion of Boom.
I know,
but it was. You're telling me though that look, we're just looking at quarterbacks and their skill set. When I see Philip Rivers, I see like Dan Marino Jr.
What?
Like, I mean, like, I see a guy that... But Rivers
never had... He never had the arm strength that Marino had.
Come on. I'm telling you, he played the game the same way. He's immobile. He takes chances. He's a gunslinger.
Yeah, but Marino's arm was so much better.
But Dan Marino may have had the strongest arm in the history of the game.
Justin Herbert would beg to differ. Justin Herbert might be the modern-day Dan Marino.
Is this a good poll question? Because I think those are, like, three guys... Who were always viewed as in the step below.
You're right.
The Manning and the Brady class, and whoever would join them when they were hot. It was to me Russell Wilson and Roethlisberger were always sort of those first two quarterbacks.
That's a good
right underneath.
It's a good question because I'm having a hard time making a choice between Ben and
Russ. Roethlisberger in his first Super Bowl win was basically a bystander.
Yes, just like Russ.
Yeah. No, I think you're not giving Russ enough credit his first year. Give me some stats.
I agree with that. I think that Ben Roethlisberger was more of a pedestrian in the sidecar than Russ was in the first Super Bowl.
Maybe, but it was also partially because they didn't ask him to do anything as that first year.
He managed, just like Brady.
Second year quarterback.
Look at what Brady did in his first championship.
Yes.
But you know, I mean, I think we stumbled onto something.
Yeah, we'll stumble away from it because when we come back, I got some stories that will also make you stumble. Grossness. Good makes you feel comfortable. Great makes you feel at home. When you get your hair cut at Great Clips, you're one of the family, which means they take the time to get to know you and your hair. Good as a nice salon waiting room. Great as your own living room. With online check-in from Great Clips, you can check in for your haircut from your couch or anywhere else and arrive at the salon when it works for you. It's just that easy. Good asks how you'd like your haircut. Great already knows. At Great Clips, they save your haircut details in their unique Clip Notes database. So no matter which salon you visit, your stylist is up to speed on your hair. Visit any of their 200 salons in Illinois or over 150 in the Chicagoland area. Check in online with the Great Clips app or at greatclips.com. Also, if you're interested, you can join the salon team. Visit jobs.greatclips.com. All salons are independently owned and operated. Contact your local salon for specific safety measures.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You want to take Adam in Boston's call?
Yeah, and then we have some.
We have some White Sox news for you as well. Why don't we give you that news, and then we'll give you Adam's call from Boston. Tony is not going to manage over the next couple of games. Is that correct, Tyler?
Yeah, the next two games, Tony La Russa will not manage, but he will be watching the game from a suite and be around for both games.
Update on Rick Hahn as well.
What's two days going to do, though? Are they going to reassess before the Guardians game?
That's what it seems like right now. Also, it's possible that Tim Anderson returns for next week's homestand, too.
Okay. And Robert?
And Robert is in the lineup today, batting seventh.
Okay. So there's your White Sox news.
Adam in Boston, you're on with Waddle and Selby. What's up, Adam?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I got my son Jake with me, who wants to talk Bears.
What's up,
Jake? He had a question about the upcoming game against the Packers.
All right.
Do you think that Luke Getsy, since he was on the Packers last year, will be able to help the Bears strategize against Green Bay, because he might memorize all of the playbook stuff?
Well, you are one smart kid right there. That is a great call
I think. You know what I think he'll do is I think he'll sit down with Coach Eberflus and kind of go over some of the tendencies that he may have insight to more so than someone else who wasn't part of the Packers coaching staff. So, yes, I think it will be a bit of a benefit for them. Good question.
Do you think, Jake, Luke Getsy should ask Aaron Rodgers to have dinner the night before the game and maybe kidnap him and put him in a closet?
No.
No? No. Just know the playbook.
How about poison him instead?
Yeah, give him. Aaron Rodgers likes mushrooms. He can give him.
There you go, Dad. Well said.
All right, Adam, Jake, thank you guys.
See you guys.
There you go. We'll ask Barstool Big Cat. He's going to be in a good mood with the Packers 0-1, the Bears 1-0.
And he has won a couple of bets.
Oh, he's red hot right now on the gambling front. He doesn't like these nationally televised games, though, against the Packers. We'll see if he's feeling better. We'll talk to Barstool Big Cat next.